Hello and welcome to In Conversation With, a podcast from The Lancet Global Health. It is October 2023 and I'm Theo Trithui. This month, I'm joined by Clara Frick and Dr. Isabel Sirdamartiram from the International Agency for Research on Cancer. They are co-authors on a new population-based study investigating quantitative estimates of preventable and treatable deaths from 36 cancers across the globe, which was recently published in The Lancet Global Health. I began by asking Isabel to what she meant by premature cancer mortality and why it was important to explore.
So with the premature mortality here, we mean all deaths that occur among people aged 30 to 69 years old. We use the definition as proposed by WHO in our paper, and the basic premise of this premature death is that such death at an early age shouldn't happen to anyone, and it is one of the largest barriers to the visions of WHO, but visions of all, that every person should have a healthy long life. What is also unique in our study, we distinguish the causes of premature death that are linked to medical treatment. So we estimated the number of premature death that can be averted given access to high-quality medical care, and causes of premature death that can be prevented through primary and secondary prevention, such as risk factor reduction or screening and early diagnosis, and we call this last part preventable premature mortality. As for its main uses, premature cancer mortality or premature mortality in general has been around for quite a long time, and mainly it's been used for two main purposes. First, it's to measure countries' health system performance with a really special interest to capture effectiveness of national efforts to prevent what they call unnecessary or avoidable death from a disease. This measure has been widely used to compare countries in terms of their health system performance. As a second important use that's been used quite a lot as well is premature mortality data is used to inform policy at a very high level to alert policymakers of an important health in the population. This is linked to the fact that death data are published quite rapidly, especially where a country has such data, and premature mortality can be actually quite relatively easy to calculate.
Thank you very much. That's very detailed. Thank you. That's very helpful. So leading on then with my second question, so following from this, how did you go about exploring that definition within your work in your team?
So in our study, our aim was the global estimation and presentation of the burden of premature cancer deaths and distinguishing these into preventable and treatable deaths, and to calculate the years of life lost from 36 cancer types in the year 2020. And we included 185 countries in our analysis. And to our knowledge, this has not been done before. So in previous works, premature mortality from cancer has been assessed, one specific analysis being from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, and they included, they looked at preventable and treatable cancer deaths, but they looked at only a specific or a select group of countries, and these countries were mostly high-income countries. So we wanted to extend this analysis to the global scale and to also include countries from different income groups. Now, we went about this by measuring the number of premature, preventable, and treatable deaths and calculated the years of life lost. And we also calculated the proportions of premature mortality from the cancer deaths in all ages. And we also, the specific to the years of life lost is that it can be used to compare the premature mortality in different populations, and they take into account also the age at which the death occurs, specifically in our case between the ages 30 to 69. And we also looked at the variability of premature cancer mortality, so we looked at it by country, by world region and human development index groups, which is a score that's been established and has been identified for each country based on the life expectancy, education and gross national income. And we also looked at premature cancer mortality by sex. And we identified the major cancer types contributing to premature mortality.
Thank you very much. So what was it that you learned about cancer prevention?
So first of all, we estimated that actually 1 in 2 cancer deaths occur prematurely. And we found that of these premature deaths, around 70% or almost 2/3 were actually, in fact, preventable. And from this, we concluded that strengthening cancer prevention is really the key to reducing premature cancer mortality in the future. There were a few cancers that specifically stuck out as the leading contributors to preventable cancer mortality. In the high and medium human development index groups, group of countries, we found that this was lung cancer. And previous works have identified that tobacco smoking is the largest preventable cause for lung cancer. So we could also infer from this possibly that by reducing tobacco smoking in the future, we could also reduce lung cancer and preventable cancer mortality in these settings. Now, in the low HDI groups, cervical cancer contributed to almost 30% of the preventable years of life loss. So cervical cancer was really important here. And we found in other studies, it's been established that it can be linked to vaccination coverage, low vaccination coverage against the human papillomavirus infection, which is the necessary cause for cervical cancer, and also low access to cervical cancer screening, which highlights the importance of strengthening both specifically in low and middle income countries. And ultimately, we hope that our findings regarding the high proportion of preventable premature cancer deaths could incentivize a greater policy emphasis on risk factor reduction, screening, and early detection.
Thank you so much, Clara. That was very helpful. So my next question then, it must have been so hard to gather all this data from the 185 countries. What are the practical considerations for getting this information from all over the globe?
This is true. And this study would have never been possible without all the cancer registries that collected cancer data around the world and national statistical agency that collected mortality data. And for them, their kindness of sharing those data with us. As Clara mentioned, we use data from a project which is called GlobalCan that has been estimating this national level of cancer burden, including the number of new cancer cases, but also then the number of cancer deaths using this data. And there are many challenges. So I'll start first with the challenges before giving the practical information on how to do this. And then there are many, and I will just mention a few here. There is a very good framework to collect cancer data, meaning there is a good international standard on how such data should be collected, which is one of then the positive aspects of collecting this cancer data. But the biggest problem or challenge is that such work requires a lot of resources. Today's technology has brought a lot of amazing advances just in terms of data collection, especially in higher income countries, but the utilization or the penetration of such technology is so much slower in low and middle income countries that have to collect such data today still, more or less manually. And then they have to travel between hospital labs in a very difficult conditions just to collect cancer data. And then there is also a large problem of human resources. It is quite a niche work to collect cancer data, and the retention of highly skilled registration specialists, especially in low and middle income countries, is quite low. Another challenge that I would like to mention is especially big impact in higher income countries is the whole challenges around personal information and privacy. While some countries have very good legal basis to allow data collection and then at the end research to use this data, but this is really not the case for many, many, many countries. So finally, in terms of practical consideration, what I think has been really important to make this project or similar project work is then to work with in collaboration with the local experts, because it's the only way to learn and to understand the data better and then to interpret what is then happening. At the International Agency for Research on Cancer, so here, together with the WHO and all of our partners locally, we have developed something which is called Global Initiative on Cancer Registry Development, in short GICR, that really aims to improve data coverage, data capacity, but also then at the end data quality, with specific attention to strengthening cancer registries in low and middle income countries.
Thank you, Isabel. That was really interesting. Thank you so much. So what do you hope will be the biggest takeaway of the study from our readers?
So we hope that the biggest takeaway for our readers would be that deaths from cancer, they can be avoided, and that if we are successful, we could avoid 1 in 2 deaths from cancer. And how could we go about doing this? So 70% of these could be avoided through prevention, through primary and secondary prevention, and 30% could be avoided through access to high quality treatment. And we hope that these findings can also bring about targeted actions and policies that strengthen cancer prevention, as well as therapeutic capacity building. And we found that there is a disproportionate burden in the premature cancer mortality in low and middle income countries specifically. Just as an example, 50% of the years of life lost that occurred prematurely in Northern Europe, and 75% occurred prematurely in some parts of Africa and Asia. So we hope that these inequalities will be addressed in collaborative global efforts, and also specifically striving towards the sustainable development goal of reducing premature mortality by a third by the year 2030.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I guess the last thing is, what do you think is next for your team?
So in the future, which is already really happening now, we should be working towards having better practical information on how these premature cancer death, but premature death in general, can be prevented at country level. And this can be done through multiple avenues. But from our sides, we are really looking and focusing into analyzing the impact of implementation, adaptation, and scale-up of different public health policies on the burden of cancer. In addition to giving them the number of deaths that can be prevented, we are of course looking also in terms of the number of sufferings that can be prevented. And we are also really then trying to look into timelines, because policymakers really want to know, when can we start to see an impact if we were then to implement this or other policy options. And finally, we are also adding more and more the economic arguments to cancer prevention. So what is the economic benefit or the return of an investment of certain or different policies options? And I think Clara has started a PhD project looking even more precisely into a specific intervention at the country level. And I'll let her briefly explain what she is working on.
Thanks. So my PhD project, I'm working on improving lung cancer screening, and specifically also working towards maximizing the benefit-harm ratio. So many countries do not yet have lung cancer screening programs in place. And for this project, we are working on various risk models that can predict someone's probability of developing lung cancer based on different risk factors, and that these models could be used to select those for screening who would benefit most from lung cancer screening.
Fantastic. That's all of my questions. Thank you both so much for being such great guests. And we join the study team in their hope that legislation and funding for future study can help make sure that more preventable cancers are indeed just that, prevented. You can read their work now on thelancet.com. And I'd like to thank both of our interviewees and thank you for listening. You can subscribe to this podcast any place you usually get your podcasts.